A man slices open a woman's eyeball with a razor. A hand crawling with ants. Those may sound like images from the latest horror movie, but they're actually from the most famous short film ever made, Un Chien Andalou, The Andalusian Dog, which was made in 1929. It's regarded as the first film produced purely from within the surrealist movement. Un Chien Andalou was directed by Luis Buñuel and written by Buñuel and Salvador Dali. There's a new DVD out, featuring commentary by surrealism expert Stephen Barber. Although Un Chien Andalou was a silent film, Buñuel played music to accompany the film at the Paris premiere, and the DVD features the music selected by Buñuel. So we thought it would be appropriate to listen to the music as we talk to Stephen Barber about this legendary surrealist film.
Yes, the first image of the film is actually of the director, Luis Buñuel himself, who was around 30 years old at the time. It was his first film. And he strops a razor, and then there's a shot of him holding a woman's head and then carrying the razor across the eyeball of the woman as it appears in the film, juxtaposed with an image of clouds across a moon in the sky above.
Yeah, and it is, you do actually see the cut. Now, it is not, as we know, her eye, but there's no way that you can know that from watching the film.
No, I think it's really only in the era of DVD that people could actually stop the image and realize that, in fact, I think it's probably the eye of a cow or another kind of animal that Buñuel had got from the slaughterhouse. Yeah.
Where did the idea for this film come from? How did Salvador Dali and Luis Buñuel come up with the idea for the short film?
It was really as part of a illogical brainstorming session which they had, and Buñuel had the idea that he wanted to make a film. Salvador Dali was more or less brought into the project to generate a number of ideas which would insurge into the film, and so particularly the sequence in which a piano is dragged across a room with a number of priests on top of it. These are the kind of ideas which Dali interjected into the film, because although Buñuel was also atheistic and an enemy of priests, as he said, it was perhaps Salvador Dali who had the kind of virulence, the ferocity to actually come up with these illogical images. And so in their brainstorming session, which produced the scenario for the film very rapidly, they concocted a set of images which slowly detonate through the 20 minutes of the film. Mm.
And it's as though they determined ahead of time that they would not allow there to be a storyline, that one image could not lead logically to the next. Or is that just a part of what surrealism is?
Well, the surrealists had a fascination too with narrative cinema, and there are stories about the way in which they would cross Paris, going from cinema to cinema and catching fragments of films and then reconstituting the experience of that fragmentary watching a film into a new kind of narrative. So rather than a linear narrative, a narrative which moves from story element to element, what they preferred was a kind of narrative of upheavals that would propel the spectator from one space and time to another in a very direct, drastic, radical way. And so this dissociation of space and time was the way in which narrative itself could be disentangled.
Of course, critics, and I would imagine most viewers as well, have an almost unsuppressible urge to try to find a narrative in the images that are presented to them on the screen in this film and others. And I gather that successive screenings of Un Chien Andalou for critics have resulted in successive definitions of the narrative of it as well.
Well, I think it's an almost intractable human desire in the cinema to produce a narrative. And perhaps the interesting thing about the surrealist films of 1929 was that the spectators could almost reconstruct a narrative at each particular screening. In the very first surrealist film, The Seashell and the Clergyman, every single viewing that a spectator could make of that film would generate a different narrative.
Are there, do you think, meanings to the images, or are they just there to shock us?
Well, Buñuel certainly had, with this particular film, a very provocative design. So, in a sense, the concentration of the images in Chandlu are intended more as an anti-psychological impact on the spectator rather than as the set of investigations into particular meanings or resonances. But the surrealists at that time were concerned with dream processes, but not to actually interpret dreams or to transcribe dreams, but actually to try and get into the process of dreaming. And all of the surrealists, Bunuel, Artaud, even Breton, thought that within the process of dreaming there was kind of a core which was very dark and would unleash kind of violent images, would even have a very direct impact on the spectator. And there is a feeling in surrealist cinema in those years that spectator's perception can actually be transformed by the images if they're constructed in such an illogical, such a transformatory way that they kind of bring into play almost an unsettling, an upheaval in the spectator's perception. Hmm.
I suppose that must have made them a little nervous about how the first screening of their film was going to be received. Were they worried about it?
Well, they were worried about it, and because there had been the scandal at the Urschlin cinema in Paris the previous year, in which a riot had taken place, that the scenarist Antonin Artaud had damaged the cinema, had smashed windows in the foyer of the cinema, there had been a complete upheaval, and fistfights had taken place in the cinema room. And so when Bunuel was preparing his own first screenings of Enchian and Lou, he notoriously had rocks in his pockets ready to have them ready to repulse the attacks that he himself thought would be his reward for having produced a surrealist film.
The first screening was in Paris, right?
Yes, it was, yes.
And he did not have to use the rocks.
No, because the surrealists decided that it very much kind of met their criteria of what surrealist cinema should be. Whereas with the other film, The Seashell and the Clergyman from the previous year, some of them had liked it and some of them hadn't. But this had created this divergence which created the violence, the uproar in the cinema. But because Bunuel had, an inkling of what exactly Breton would like about cinema, that he was able to carry it through in that way.
What is the legacy, do you think, of Enchian and Lou?
Well, it's a film which has enabled filmmakers right up until the contemporary moment to experiment with time and space in film. And so you see this in the works of, for instance, David Lynch, that in a film like Mulholland Drive or in Lost Highway, there can be these sudden transformations of identity, of space and time, and that the spectator must be ready to go with the momentum of the filmmaker's imagination. And before surrealist cinema, this certainly wasn't the case. Even in the first decade of cinema, there was a coherence to narrative, a coherence to time and space, and surrealism broke that. So it's given filmmakers a permanent sense of freedom, I think.
Stephen Barber talking about the famous surrealist short film Enchian Andalou. Stephen Barber is also the author of Blows and Bombs, Antonin Artaud, the biography.